And so welcome again. And so we're going to continue our Lenten season conversations. It's our second Sunday for Lent. Last week we talked about the altar, how the altar is that special place where you can go get guidance, that special place where you, it is outside, but within you as well. The altar is that special place where you go and commune with God. There's no restrictions. Where you can listen and talk to God with a clarity, with a sacredness. Today, we're going to talk about the next stage. I mean, we can always talk to God. You don't necessarily need to go to an altar, but sometimes it's just really nice to go into a quiet, still place, undisturbed from anything, from anyone, and have that personal conversation with God. And the reality is you're always communing with God if you allow it to come to you. Now is the first step of as God is communing, as we work forward to, in the Lenten season, which is the preparation for our truth to rise, that we are the divine idea, that Christ is a title. It isn't the name of Jesus. It's the title that Jesus understood and took and was trying to teach his disciples the same thing so the disciples could teach the rest of the people and their disciples could teach other people. Through the Bible, Jesus gives us, or the writers tell us, the clues that Jesus gave to each and every person because we are beloved children of God. And these are the things that we do to bring forth the reality. And at this point in time, these realities seem to be a distant dream in our hearts. Sometimes they're so distant, the knowing that individually we are the Christ, let alone someone else, that our dreams start fading away. And as the name of the talk is, Just My Imagination, we think that this is futile to even have this dream of a better life for ourselves and knowing that we are Christ. And in many ways, we've used this beautiful power, which is one of the 12 powers of man, one of the abilities of man to create. We use it to create in thoughtless ways. Most people think imagination, yeah, to be creative. I'm not creative. That's for artists, painters, musicians, those artsy-fartsy types. That's not me. Beloveds, each and every one of us, we can only create if we utilize our imagination. For it's the start of the beginnings of the creation. And so imagination is important to create everything. And when I say everything, I mean everything. I mean, think about it. When we, tomorrow, when you wake up, I don't know if you're like me, you're going to go, oh my God, no wonder I'm so tired. I've lost an hour. And if you were like I was a couple decades ago, in the advertising field, I would wake up and I would imagine my morning and imagine my day based on the stacks of work I had on my desk. And I would look back on the history of my week and I would imagine, because it was just my imagination, how today would fall out. And you might say, well, Crystal, isn't that valid? Because you're looking back at a history. So when I go in, I would say, oh, this person's going to do this, and this person's going to aggravate me, and I have to walk over to this person who will make me smile. And when I go in for coffee, I hope so-and-so isn't there because they gossip too much, and then I have to. And our imagination starts working overtime. And most of the time, I bet you're saying, well, it's correct, isn't it? I walk in, and that same person's telling me about their life, and I have to sit there while I'm trying to enjoy my coffee, and the stacks of paper, and Monday is hard, and it was hard. And so I'm correct. When I wake up, I was correct. Well, by golly, it was your imagination. You pictured out what your day was going to be, and by golly, you're right. You were correct. But that is the power and the beauty of the imagination. We don't even see that we're using it because we think it's child's play. Because when we were young, I want you to go back into your imagination, to your history, when you were young, and not just your. And see, we think about imagination as imagery. We're mistaking it. We think of imagination as an untruth. So when you go back into your imagination, we're thinking about the truth of your life as a child. Think about when you used to play with your imaginary friends, or you would go out and you would use your imagination. You would create all over the place. And it was real for you. It was real for you until you told an adult the amount of fun that you had, the dreams that you had, and they squashed them. Well, honey, that's sweet. Now go back to reality, wash up, clean up your room, whatever. Go back to reality. The more we heard that, oh, stop daydreaming, stop dreaming those big dreams, the smaller our imagination became. The further away our imagination became, and the more we thought it was a fanciful thing for the artsy-fartsy type, and only they had an imagination. That's what they call artsy-fartsy. I don't know who said artsy-fartsy over here. I was an artsy-fartsy, and that's what a lot of people told me. When I was at school, I went to an art college, and people would tell me, oh, you just go to an art college. You must not do anything except draw all the time. I tell you, anyone who's been to an art college will tell you, it's hard to be creative each and every moment, to move through your imagination and to create great things. And it wasn't just an eight-hour day. No, during my orientation, the president said, you know, you have your classroom, but for every classroom hour, you will probably have 2 to 3 hours of homework. Yeah. And not only did we have creative endeavors, we had academic stuff as well. So creation, understand that even us artsy-fartsy types, the greatest ones, move forward, indulge their imagination, move in, have a relationship with it, understand it, yes, better than some, because out of that, we create pictures, we create music, we create characters. And by golly, each and every one of you do the same thing, but you do it in a different way, because you, through your imagination, are the great creator of your life. Each and every one of us, through our imagery, through our imagination, paint a picture, and then we walk forward looking to live that life. I ask you to... There's a Thomas More quote. We tend to consider imagination too lightly, forgetting that the life we make for ourselves individually and for the world as a whole is shaped and limited only by the parameters of our imagination. Things are as we imagine them to be, as we imagine them into existence. Imagination is creativity, and the way we make our world depends on the vitality of our imagination. Thomas More. Charles Fillmore says that the imagination is something that's God-given. God gives, and it's something that we do just as God does. As you find in Genesis 1, chapter 1, you might remember in the first component, there was darkness and there's a void. And we teach that with the first chapter of Genesis, that was God imagining, envisioning. And God envisioned day and night, called it good. God envisioned the plants, God envisioned the animals. God envisioned people. God visioned out everything, the heavens and the earth, and called it good. And it is the second story, for there are two stories in creation, chapter 2, where it is outpictured. Charles Fillmore says, man does the same thing. He goes, God gives to his image the power to express all that he is, he, she, it. It's 18-something when he wrote this. This does not only include man's ability to think, but also the power to shape and form thought. This formative power of thought requires a distinctive faculty, which is called the imagination. So the imagination is our human ability to several things, not only take in images around us, take in symbols, take in information, but it's through that imagination that we are able to take those images, take those words, take the symbols, take whatever, and use and create and recreate something within our lives. Yet it's up to us to create something wonderful. It's up to me to let you know and say, you know, delve in to how you are using your imagination so that you can shift, so that you can repent, change your ways, change your thoughts for something great. I found a story about a young man by the name of Monty Roberts. He was the son of a horse trainer, and there was a poor family because the father had to go ranch to ranch, stable to stable. He was a trainer. All around, he went looking for work. They were a poor family. They had very little money. And one day at school, the assignment that Monty's teacher gave the students were to write down their biggest dream of what, how they wanted to live their life when they became an adult. Well, Monty was on fire. He sat down, and for two whole weeks, he imagined what he wanted his life. He opened himself up to the possibilities of what stirred him. He envisioned it. And for 2 weeks, he worked on the paper. He wrote down about a 200-acre ranch he wanted to own. He drew diagrams of the buildings. And he really envisioned it. He could see it. He drew it down. And he called it the blueprint for his life. Oh, he was proud of this paper. It was about 7 pages, single lines. Had his blueprint. He was proud of himself, and he felt good about this dream. He felt positive about this dream. And when he finished it, he turned it in. 2 full weeks of the imagining and looking and planning in his imagination and then writing it down. And he waited anxiously for the teacher to hand back the paper with a wonderful, wonderful grade. Can you feel it? Haven't we been that young? It's like, and so a week later, the teacher hands back all the papers. And anxiously, Monty grabs the paper, and on the top of it is a big, fat, red F. And on the bottom of the paper, you know how at the end, the little space, they write you a note? And in red, it says, come see me after class. And so Monty took his little paper, went to the teacher after class, and said, why did you give me an F? The teacher grabbed his paper. Might not have been that cruel. I don't think teachers are that cruel, but grabbed his paper and said, this is not real. There's no way you would be able to live this dream. You're from a poor family. This is unreal. You know, if you want to have an acreage like that, you have to have money to buy the land, 200 acres. Do you know how much that costs? You want a stable? Can you imagine how much a horse, one horse, cost? You got to pay fees, and you got to buy the food, and if you want this the stallion or whatever horse, you got to pay breeding fees. There's too much money. You're unrealistic. This will never, ever work. I want you to write about a reality. She goes, you know what? If you give me something real, something that is tangible, I'll consider changing your grade. I'll give you a week to change. Monty went home distraught. I mean, can you imagine? Can you feel a little boy's dream just by someone of an authority, someone who's supposed to train and feed you and lift you up, was squashed. He went home in tears, and he went to his father, the horse trainer. He said, Dad, I don't know what to do. She wants me to rewrite this paper, and she thinks this is unreality. What do you think? And his father, being wise, said, Son, this is one question I can't answer for you. You have the biggest decision, I think, of your young life. It's up to you to decide whether this is a reality or not. Not the teacher, not me, but you. And so young Monty sat with this for a full week, mulled it over, thought about his dreams, went into the imagination, and a week later, he went back to the teacher, and he handed the teacher the same paper with a note on it. You can keep the F, but I'm going to keep my dream. You can keep the F, I'm going to keep my dream. How wonderful. How many times have our dreams, based from the imagination, from that divine idea that God implants within us, how many times does not only someone else around us squish this, most importantly, we do? How many times do we say we can't do something? We have this wonderful idea that this dream, this thing that comes out of our imagination, and we're filled up about it. We go, oh my God, what if? What if that was a reality? Wow, that would be awesome. That would be fantastic. And then all of a sudden we go into, but we can't do that. I can't do that. I don't have the education to do that. And at whatever, how many times have we heard that? And at whatever age, I don't want to go back to school. I'm too old to go back to school. It takes too much time. I don't have the money. Excuses, excuses. All of a sudden, our imagination is turned on us. Our imagination comes up with all these things that squish our dreams. Our will, not God's will, comes into play to taunt us and to tell us how this spectacular dream will not be a reality. For all of us who do that, and I say us, yes, I think at some point in time we all do this. Trust God. Trust God's divine idea for you. For if God has provided you with this idea through the vessel and the vehicle and the power of your imagination, say, thank you, help me to achieve it. How do I achieve it? How can I embrace it? Move me forward, for and light me up with a continual intention of what needs to happen. You know why? Because we need to have the gumption of Monty. The story continues years later. This man sat reflecting on his 8,000 square foot home in the middle of a 200 acre horse ranch. And over the fireplace in his house, he has an original school paper framed for everyone to see. One of the things in the story I missed was that he also, in his dream, he wanted kids to be able to come out every summer to this ranch and to experience this happiness. Every summer, he had youth coming in. He, through the imagination and the power of God's will, he was able to achieve everything. And guess what? The teacher who told him that he could not have that original thought. He could never make it. We found that she was bringing 30 or so students every summer to him. It was a beautiful lesson for her because at one point in time, she went to Monty, apologized, and said, "Thank you for teaching me this lesson because I was a stealer and a squasher of many young children's dreams. I'm not anymore. You have taught me." Allow the story of Monty to feed your heart, to implant a seed, to germinate greatness, because that's what God has us here to do. Not to be small, not to play small, but to be great, to play in a great field of wonderful, infinite, not finite, infinite potentiality of greatness. Let us do that. Let us move forward. So I invite you to do this for the next week. I invite you to take sheets of paper. I'd say go to Staples, wherever, get a notepad of paper. And at the top of the paper, list the dream that is coming to you. You might want to go into meditation and allow all the dreams come about. Don't think about it. Don't judge it. Don't go, "Oh, I can't. I don't." Just write the dreams down on the top of the paper. Each one, each page has another dream. Don't think I only have 5 or I have too many, I have 100. Don't limit yourself. Now, look at your dream. I want you to write down the thoughts that come up that are blocking you from this dream on one side of the paper. On the other side of the paper, I want you to write all the potential things that can be done. I also, on each page, I want you to write something down. And unfortunately, this comes from a Jewish philosopher. I couldn't find him. But I want you to write down at the bottom of each of your dreams, "If not me, who? If not now, when?" And allow yourself to put the negative stuff down just to free yourself, just to free your mind of the clog and the pollution of it. But stick with the possibilities of greatness. Let your imagination soar. And you don't have to worry about the timetable. Just allow it to come out and see what God has in store for you, how God can work miracles through and as you. Rufus Jones says, "We must have new eyes, the eyes of our heart enlightened. That means that we must see essential realities vividly. We must have our imagination captured, as in seized or apprehended." Matthew Arnold said that conduct is 3/4 of life, but it isn't, states Rufus Jones. Getting your imagination captured is almost the whole of life. The minute the eyes of your heart are enlightened, the minute your imagination gives you the picture of your path, your goal, your aim, it is as good as done. The way to become the architect of your fate, the captain of your soul, is to have your imagination captured. So I invite you to have your imagination captured. And if you need some support moving through each and every moment as you look at your imagination and capture the beauty of it, not the mundane stuff that we live with, in your bulletin we have, "I now use the gift of imagination to envision a life made new." Let's say that together. "I now use the gift of imagination to envision a life made new." Let us all envision a beautiful life made new. God bless you.